I know it's hard to believe for many of us that Christmas is here. Christmas season, ready or not, here it is. Amen. And it seems like, I don't know about you, but it seemed like when I was a kid growing up, it took forever for Christmas to show up. And, you know, then you, as a kid, you waited for Christmas break, and you got excited when you got those couple weeks off, and then it seemed like it went by too fast. But the older you get, it seems like the, you know, especially when the kids are home, it seemed like it went by a lot faster. I mean, it's just like every time you turn around, thinking, really, is it Christmas already? And then you scramble around, you rush around trying to find things and get the presents you know, just get that special one that you know they really want. And, you know, Christmas can be a great time, but also can be a very difficult time. And to me, it's what you make it. It is what you build in it. But also in that, I believe there's some things we got to understand about Christmas. And this, we'll be teaching, you see, Christmas traditions. Just think about how many traditions you have in your family. Think about Christmas traditions growing up as a child. And maybe the Christmas traditions maybe you instilled as you were becoming as a parent, and you began to do with your kids. And how many of those traditions carry over? How many of those traditions, you know, continue? And I just want to kind of talk through this. Matter of fact, all through the next several weeks, I want to be talking about traditions, not only from our family, but I will be looking about other traditions that Christmas time brings that we don't need to forget. And this morning, I'm going to be taking a kind of an unusual text this morning, an unusual place, but this morning we're going to be going from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. My throat's a little dry this morning. Beginning at verse 13. I have it up here. Go ahead and switch over. Excuse me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. He said, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at verse 15. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us from and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." But I want us to focus on verse 15. "Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught." Father, we just come to you today to ask your blessings and anointing upon this time together. Father, we know you're in this house and we know you're in this place. And I pray, God, that you would anoint me and help me, God. And I just yield myself to you, O God, and pray that you, what you have laid upon my heart, let me bring it with clarity for all of us to understand what you want to speak to us today. To learn from this time and this season, God, why we celebrate it and the importance of it. And Lord, I just pray, let your will be done in all things. Open our ears and hearts to receive from you. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. One of the things, as I said, you know, just talking about traditions. Think about some of the traditions that you had that you enjoyed. Some of the traditions that you had that you didn't enjoy. I know one, you know, growing up, we would always, it seemed like we started out as a kid opening one Christmas present on Christmas Eve. And it turned out that, you know, before it was all said and done, we wanted one more, and then finally we opened all the Christmas presents up Christmas Eve. And we got up Sunday, or the next morning, Christmas morning, and there was nothing to open. And we kind of got bummed, and so my dad decided, you know what, we're not doing any more presents on Christmas Eve. Everything is Christmas morning. And I thought, you were robbed. But then we realized what a great thing that was, because it really was more fulfilling to wake up. And of course, you know, I, as a kid, I was always the rambunctious one that, of course, you know, and we would get them up at the crack of, well, before dawn even got up, we were up. And finally, Mom and Dad said, you know what, before you get up, you got to have, you know, the coffee has to be on. And so we made, you know, I learned how to make coffee at a young age. And so I knew how to put that coffee pot, you know, and turn it on and, you know, and let that thing go. And then they said, well, we had a little fireplace there. And they said, well, you got to have a fire in the fireplace. You have coffee brewing before you even think about getting us up. So, man, I'd wait. Sometimes it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes, 3 a.m, I was up because I couldn't sleep. Anybody like that? You could not sleep the morning, but, you know. And, man, it was so hard going to sleep. And now, you know, then growing up with my kids, you know, they were kind of the same way. So I made the stipulation, same thing. You know, I carried that tradition on. But I added a tradition, not before 5 or 6, we told them that you couldn't get up before then. And Stephanie, our middle child, she was that way. You know, she was the one that she was always up. She'd get her brother and sister up. But there were some things, you know, there's just little things here and there that you carried on. And, you know, of course, you open stockings first, you know, and then we did all the other things. And there's always traditions, whether we, you know, like I said, whether we liked them or not, or whether however they flowed, there was traditions that we had. And you come back and you really got to ask yourself, why did you have these traditions? Why do you call them traditions? You know, traditions is defined as a transmission of customs or belief from one generation to the next. And handing down beliefs or in some cultures, you know, there were some legends that they would pass down or customs or information. And usually it was taught by word of mouth. You taught this and, you know, you were educated in this, or you learned this as a child growing up, some traditions. And there's some things, you know, and there's some other traditions we learned as a kid. I did is that we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. Whenever the doors of the church were open, we went to church. That was a tradition that was handed down to me. We reverenced the house of God. We understood the importance of coming to the house of God. And that is also a tradition that that I was taught as a child. But we really got to stop and think, what are some things are we handing down? Because not only are some traditions taught by word of mouth, we teach some things, maybe not so much by what we say, but by how we act. I remember from all my years of pastoring, seeing people, you know, raise their kids in church, and church wouldn't be a priority in their life. And as a young child or as a teen, and then when they become adults, they would come to church and the parents would come back and start crying, well, why is my child going to church? Well, you didn't really come faithfully yourself. You taught that tradition, whether you realized it or not, you taught that tradition that church and serving God was not a priority. So we have to really think about what are we teaching and what traditions, because whether we want it, because again, go back to the definition of these traditions, something that's handed from one generation to the next. Are we handing down to the next generation the importance of serving God, the importance of God's word, the importance of knowing Him and having a relationship with Him, or are we passing down a tradition that church, God, and serving Him is optional?
Hello.
Because what we teach today, whether by word or whether by action, we are passing down to the next generation. We could take this concept and look at our nation. How much have we seen our nation stray from the traditions of being American? How much have we seen our nation go from one generation to the next where we're less patriotic, we're less respectful of others, we seem to become more tolerant of anything and everything, but yet in some things we're not. Hello? In the name of freedom, we allow everything to where it becomes lawlessness, and we throw law out the window. I mean, let's face it. Things that we used to call sin, we no longer call sin anymore. Lifestyles that we used to call abominable and unacceptable, well, that's just their preference. Hello? Some may not like what I'm about to say, but this is biblical. Homosexuality is a sin. But yet we call it now our alternative lifestyle. But you see that doorway, or that gateway that we opened up saying, well, let's just accept it because they're born that way. Oh, let me go there for a minute. You know what? I don't want to say this. We're all born in sin. Sin can be manifested in different ways. Hello? Homosexuals no worse than adultery, fornication. They're all sexual sin, and they're all, bottom line, sin. So we're all born into sin, but to say I'm born specifically to be homosexual, no, you're just born into sin. But that gateway has opened up now, and whether you've been paying attention to the news or not, because in some states this is what's happening, where now they're allowing pedophiles, I said pedophiles, to become acceptable behavior. Hello? You see where it started from? And don't say, oh, it won't happen here. It starts somewhere, and it just like cancer, it just spreads. But you see, it's because one tradition or one generation to the next has made it okay. Somebody started that tradition. Somebody start, whether good or bad, they started that concept, and it's being passed down from generation to the generation where now most kids growing up, our kids are now, it's just part of their lifestyle, their understanding. Even, God forbid, and I hate this, you know, Hallmark Channel used to be some wholesome movies, wholesome programming. But even now, the Hallmark Channel is now bringing in homosexual lifestyles in. There's some movies I seen they were advertising the other day, and I told Sherry, I'm not watching those. And she goes, I'm not either. I love Hallmark movies? Well, some. But I know she loves Hallmark Channel. We'll watch a lot of Hallmark Channel, but if we know if there's a gay thing, no, we're not watching it. Then sometimes you get blindsided because, whoops, there it is. But they keep injecting this to where it becomes acceptable. That's how traditions get started. Whether you realize it or whether it's intentional or unintentional, things get passed down from one generation to the next. But we got to come back and say, okay, as Paul was instructing here, you know, about as you were taught. Well, we all get taught things. They get taught to accept this in schools. They get taught to accept this lifestyle. And I didn't come really to hash on that or pound upon that, but it's a great example. But we've got to understand about the importance of traditions. To be intentional on what we pass down. It is our duty and it is our responsibility to pass down godly traditions to our children and to our grandchildren and to those around us, because if they are to know the ways of God and if they are to know the power of God and if they're to know who God really is, then it comes from somebody, and if it don't come from anybody, let it come from us. Let me move on. We got to remember some things. Traditions are about relationships. Relationships. It begins with relationships. It begins with us understanding the fact that it takes relationship means not just because you're born into this. I mean, how many people do we know have fathered or mothered a lot of children but really aren't the mother or the father? Relationship isn't necessarily about blood as it is about time. There are people, there's some people that I'm not their father, but they look at me as a father figure because I have invested time and effort with them. And that's something we've got to understand, especially as a community of faith, as a church, as a body of believers, that these little ones that come into our church, and whether they're our kids or not, we still have influence in their life. And we may not fully understand how much we influence them, whether we know it or not. I mean, just look at your own self for a minute. Look at those that, if you grew up in church, just think of those men and women that you look to in your church that you weren't related to, but you looked up to them. I mean, I think back to some of the Sunday school teachers I had as a kid and how much I really looked up to them and how much I really esteemed them and thought a lot of them because they meant something to me. We had a relationship with them. That time, that investment of time meant something. And we got to understand, if I'm going to pass down a tradition of some to them, then I've got to have time. I've got to invest time. Mom and Dad, if you want to pass down some godly values and godly traditions to your children, it's going to take an investment of time. It's going to, you know, I understand people say, well, Pastor, I'm so tired on Sunday night or Wednesday night. You know, I just don't feel like coming to church. You know what? I know that. I get that. The one unique thing, any pastor that's been a bivocational pastor really understands more than you realize what it means to work a full-time job and then go and pastor a church after. Hello? I can't tell you how many times years ago I was working, and I wasn't just working a 40-hour a week job. I was working 50, 60, sometimes 70-hour a week job. Hello? Anybody working those hours before? There's times I'd be in my uniform, you know, from work, and I'd come straight off. I mean, I drove a company truck. Thank God I had a company truck, but I drove my company truck to church. I mean, I'd come straight from work to church. Sherry'd bring my stuff. I taught in work clothes on Wednesday nights. Now, thank God I didn't have to work Sundays, you know, with the job, but I worked in the oil business, and I wasn't clean, y'all. At the time, I smelled like gas. Sometimes I smelled like diesel. Sometimes I had oil stains on me. I mean, but I came to church. Time I was tired. Sometimes I just put in a 12-hour day, 6 in the morning and 6 at night, but I came into church. Well, you were paid. Oh, no, I was not. I didn't receive a salary at that time, Brother Gordon. You remember, I'm sure you've been down that road before. You paid yourself to preach. But I seen the value of that moment, not only for myself and for the church that I was entrusted with, but also for my children, that made sure that church was a priority. And I'm safe to say that, you know, my son, I look at him because he grew up when he remembers dad during that time, and now he's not a minister, but he goes to church on Sundays. He goes to church and he's participating on Wednesday night with the youth and helping there and doing his part and helping, and he's invested in that church. And I'm thankful because that's one tradition. If anything else, that's one tradition I'm so proud of that was passed down to him. And hopefully when he gets his family and he has kids, that he passes that tradition on, because I can guarantee you my grandparents passed that on, my parents passed that on, and I'm passing it on. And if I want that to continue in my family, then even as a grandparent, I want to pass that on, and hopefully my son will too. And that's a tradition we cannot stray away from. Well, what's this have to do with Christmas? I'm so glad you said, ask that. Well, let me first get to this part. Traditions are about remembering. Deuteronomy 32 says, remember the days of old and consider the generations long past. Go back. Remember the generations, thank you, long past. I don't know if you know this. I just learned it this week. Sister LaDonna, we and her, we figured it out. January 1 of 2021, this church will have been organized for 100 years. Think about that. Now, we're going to be doing some planning. You know, of course, we got COVID to figure out too. But yeah, we're think about that. Was anybody here when the church got started? Just checking. About, but think about that. We have this, and we enjoy this church, this building, this facility, because of what somebody did 100 years ago. That's exciting. That's called heritage. That's called legacy. It's now been entrusted to us to do something with. And to make sure that as long as the Lord tarries, that this church continues to function and do what God has done in years past. I don't want to live in the glory year or the years past, because God can still do today what he did back then. Come on, somebody. God says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. So the things that were in the past can still happen today. It's up to us to see it continue. And it's up to us to continue that tradition and that legacy for our young folks to enjoy, that they could grow up and experience the same things that you and I have experienced. We got to remember. Sometimes it's easy to forget stuff. We forget names. We forget things, we forget dates, we forget we're supposed to sing tonight. And, you know, we forget things. We forget things. But Lord, let us never forget what God has done for us. Let us never forget of the goodness of God. Let us never forget how he saved us, how he sanctified us, how he filled us with the blessed Holy Spirit, how he has redeemed, how he has kept his hand upon us, how he has brought us through many trials and temptations, how he has brought us through many storms that we didn't think we were going to survive. Let us always remember that God has never left us nor forsaken us. Let us never forget that. But let us also remember that it's our responsibility to pass that down. You know, the traditions, and I'm not going to get into this today, but the traditions of Christmas started somewhere. Hello? Some of you that maybe if you've read the history of Christmas and so how things, you know, well, why did we bring trees in? And I know some will, and there's a lot of, trust me, I've done a lot of study over the years on Christmas. And I know there's pagan views, and they brought in pagan ways. And in some cases, yes, there has been some pagan influences on some things, but there's also, you look at the internet, you'll see everything on there. That Christmas is nothing just but a pagan holiday created by the consumers, you know, or by the retailers to get money. Well, maybe that's what many has become today. But when you look at the origins and really get back to the true history of things, you begin to see the truth of all this and the reason why these things came about. And a lot of people fail to look at that and fail to remember those things, the true meaning of Christmas. And that's something that hopefully over the next couple of weeks we're going to try to share some of that information, because I believe it's important that we get back to some true meaning of Christmas and not get so caught up in some of the junk that's out there that's trying to... Listen, anytime God puts anything out there, don't you think Satan's going to try to counterfeit it or try to taint it? I mean, come on now. That's why we got to get back and we got to make sure that we pass on the true traditions of Christmas and understand the things that God wants us to learn. I got to hurry. Deuteronomy, let's look through this. I don't have these up here, but if you have your Bibles, go with me. Let's turn there, and I'll read just real quickly, go through this. I want to share this from traditions, because Deuteronomy gives a lot of traditions. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, and to that you may live, and to go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did in Baal-peor, and for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you in the men who followed Baal-peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God command, in the land which you go to possess. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the people who hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord your God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and judgments as are in this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them all to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days days they live on the earth, that they may teach their children." Sorry, I got new glasses and I'm still adjusting to small print. But it's important as we see this. Teach your children. Show them as you have learned. You need to teach. As you have received, you need to pass on. We go on into chapter 6, you'll see some of the same things that we have to pass on. We've got to teach these traditions. Let me ask you this, and you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you read the Bible at home? You don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Do you read your Bible at home? Do you read to your children at home? Those of you that have kids at home or small kids, especially. Let me throw this out too. How many loves to watch Christmas movies? You can raise your hand on that. Anybody likes to watch Christmas? I'm sure Travis is a Christmas movie buff. There's a Christmas machine right there. We snuck over there, by the way, the other day. Yeah, Friday night, Trish took us up. We're gonna come back and look a little deeper, but yeah. But what kind of Christmas movies do we watch? Now, I don't know about you all. I love to watch the classics. I like new stuff, Hallmark, yeah, some of them. But think about this. How many watches some biblical Christmas movies that really tell the story of what we call the first Christmas? You see how we get so caught up in the feel-good movies, we forget, yeah, they tell a good story, but they don't tell the story. Do we read the story about Christmas to our kids? Does our family really know the Christmas story? Is that a tradition of our family? Is that a tradition we pass down? You know, you can read the Christmas story. I know some I've seen on Facebook, they talk about taking one day through December, through the 1st through the 24th, 25th, read, you know, Book of Luke and read through that. And you've read through the, you know, basically the Christmas story. And that's great to do. But do we really read? Let me back up. How many really read anymore? It's amazing how much we'll read on Facebook and how much we won't read on the Bible. I'm going to let that soak for a minute. Y'all feeling that sting? I thought so. We'll read Facebook. We'll read our emails. We'll read all the social media stuff, or Instagram or TikTok. Hello. But do we read what we need? You know, you say you are what you read or what you expose yourself to. If we ain't reading the Bible, then we're not getting the words of life in us. And if we don't have those words of life in us, then how on earth can we pass those words on to our children and to our grandchildren? How can we instill words of life in our family to and help others if we don't have them ourselves? That's why the church is in the state it's in, and that's why the nation is in the state it's in. You mark my words, you let the church become more on fire, you'll see a nation turn around. Many in the church have become complacent with God. That's why our nation has become complacent. And we have allowed the enemy to run over us. And many people that's growing up behind us and the generations that's coming up behind us are not carrying on traditions that we grew up with. Why? Because we have not instilled that in them. We've gotten so caught up being busy. We've gotten so caught up in life and doing things and going to this party and that party and making sure everything's just right and everything's just so. And that, you know, we got a bigger light show and bigger light display than Brother Travis does down the street. And that we get so caught up in this competition, we forget the most important thing. And that is the Christmas story, which is the greatest story ever told to this world. And if we let that tradition die, then generations behind us die as well. Why is Christmas so important? It's because the word and the message it brings, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became God, and He came and dwelt among men. That's the Christmas message right there in a nutshell, that God, our Creator of all the universe in heaven and earth, came to be with us. We call it Emmanuel, God with us. He came to be with us. Why? Just to hang around? No, He came as a babe to become that perfect, sinless sacrifice that through His blood we can find redemption. And if we cannot grasp that, then God help us, because in that story, that little baby grew up, they became a man, and he died upon a cross, and he gave his life so that we may live. That's what the Christmas message is really about. We don't just celebrate a baby in a manger. We celebrate a Christ upon a cross. That's the tradition that we need to pass on. You see, these traditions teach us, and if they don't teach us about God, then they're not really worth having. Hello? Traditions also teach us about Christ, who He is. John 14:16, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Well, if we're not teaching, if Christ isn't a part of Christmas, something's wrong. Then we're really, if Christ isn't a part of your Christmas, you're not celebrating Christmas. You went to the pagan side. Mary, we need to get you an organ. You know, play a little organ music for me. Get a little soul in the church. Amen. Come on, somebody. Y'all getting too quiet on me. Yeah, bless the Lord. We're not, Christmas is about Christ. Just like Christian begins with Christ. If we ain't living for Christ, we're really not Christians. Move on, Pastor. We're getting hungry. Okay. You see, all the traditions that we do. Come on now. You know why I love baseball so much? Because baseball's in the Bible. Where? Genesis 1-1, in the beginning. The beginning. Some of you get that later. Come on, you got to laugh a little bit. Listen, we can have fun and still be Christians. We can laugh and still be Christians. So many times we've been taught, and so many others have had this misconception that if you're a Christian, it's about do's and don'ts. That's not about do's and don'ts. Let me start back at the beginning here for just a second. It's about relationship. You see, my relationship with Christ tells me I can have fun. I can laugh. I can enjoy life. I can go, because he says, I would that you would have life and have it more abundantly, or life to its fullest. I want to live life. I want to enjoy life. I want to enjoy my kids. I want to enjoy my family. I want to enjoy this walk and this journey we call life. And as a Christian, it is my duty and my responsibility to show people you can walk this walk and still enjoy life. Hello? I don't need to drink a drink or get alcohol or take drugs to get a high. My high is life. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If I want to have life, I got to have Christ. And that's a tradition we need to pass on. We need to get away from the rules and the regulations that are so binding, because Christ came to set us free. I don't know how many times we had so many do's and don'ts. Yeah, come on now. I remember growing up, some of the, you know, like, ladies, you couldn't cut your hair, and you couldn't wear makeup, you couldn't wear pants. Come on now. Many of you ladies would be going to hell now because you cut your hair, and you got makeup on, and you got pants on. But thanks be to God, we have come to a freedom of God's word. We understand it ain't about what's on the outside. It's about what's in the inside. I can have the right hair. I can have the right clothes. I can do the right things on the outside. But the inside can be black as night. Jesus come to save from the inside out. Praise God. It's about a relationship. He's my friend. He's my savior. He's my all in all. He's my strong tower. He is my great physician. When I'm sick, I say, God, I need a touch. You need to touch me, God, if I'm going to make it another day. You see, that's traditions we pass on to others. That God is the source. Every good gift, every great thing comes from above. It comes from our God. John 15, it reminds us, he said in John 15, he said, abiding in the vine and abide with the Father. If you abide in me and I abide in you, he and my Father are one. I ain't going to take time to read it all. But as it talks about abiding, that Jesus abides in the Father abides in the Son, but also we're to abide in that. He is the vine, we are the branches. Abiding means wholeness in relationships. Sherry and I abide together. We're married. Now, if she lived in one house and I lived in another, would that really be abiding? Abiding comes from the word, you know, about abode. One thing. But if I lived one workplace, she lived another. We really aren't abiding together. That's like with us and God. If we're on one page and he's on another, we're really not together.
Hello?
Relationship comes about being together, abiding together. He and me. You know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for I and my Father are one. Can that be said about us? If you've seen me, you've seen Christ. Because Christ and I are one. I'm not saying I'm Christ, but he's in me. And hopefully I'm allowing him to shine forth that Christ-like attitude. And from, how do we know people have that abiding, that Christ is abiding with them? It's easy, because the Bible gives us instructions. By their fruit, you will know them.
Hello.
Because anybody grows anything, understand what I'm about to say. I can't get apples come off the branches, right? Not up on the trunk. Understand that a minute. The fruit comes off the branches, not the trunk of the tree. You know it's an apple tree because of the fruit it bears. Are you getting this? By what we bear tells everybody what tree we're connected to. Oh, I'm a God tree. See my fruit? No. Yeah, there it is. No, you're not. You're not. See, that's why we, oh, Pastor, we don't need to be judging. No, you don't have to be judging, but you can be fruit inspectors. Are they displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Are they displaying the fruit of God? Are they displaying the love? They say they have love, but they hate their brother. So the Bible says in John that the truth is not in them. They're a liar and the truth is not in them. Come on, somebody. So am I abiding in him? And am I displaying him? Think about this for just a second. I'm trying to tie this up. I've shared some stories about my grandma about already what a godly woman she was and what a great influence she was. Not really in my early life, because I didn't know her as well as I did after I became an adult. But what a woman of God she was, and a great influence in my life. And because I knew she was a woman of prayer, not only did I see it in the way she lived, but I heard it for my own ears. And I looked at her, and I really esteemed her and thought a lot of her. And I look at that and think, that's a tradition that's being passed on to me. That God help me be that kind of person. Help me be that person that people will look to see that same. Because I seen God in her. I seen the fruit displayed, and I seen how she, and that's a tradition that I seen for my own eyes. And I want to pass on to my children and my grandchildren and those around that I'm around. I don't care where I'm called the greatest preacher in the world. I don't care about that. I just want to be called a faithful servant of God. That's it. He was faithful. He served the Lord. He was faithful. He was a godly man. That's to me the best compliment or the greatest thing. And be honest with you, I appreciate, kind words and stuff, but and I do appreciate. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the words I'm looking to hear is from him when he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful." That's what I'm working for. That's what we all should be working for. Let me hurry on. The traditions of worship. Worship isn't about a place. It's about a relationship. We come together here on Sundays and we worship God. Amen. Praise God for the opportunity to come. Praise God that we have a place that we can come together and worship. I enjoy it, my time of worship with my brothers and sisters. I enjoy worshiping with one another. But here's the thing. Worship don't just happen on Sundays. Worship happens throughout the week. And whether we think that we can only worship here, then it's pretty sad, because I can worship anywhere. I can be in my car and I can be worshiping. I can be working and I can be worshiping. I mean, when we was working on the office and I was painting the trim, I mean, I was over in the fellowship hall and I was painting trim and I had some music playing. I was just going to town and I was having myself a good old time. I was worshiping God painting trim. I was by myself and I was painting and I was having a good old time. We can worship wherever. You can worship God in Walmart. Hello. You start dancing in the spirit, they may look at you a little funny, but it's okay. I've seen stranger things in Walmart than that. Hello. You'll just be on the next YouTube video. That's all. I mean, praise God. We can worship wherever. And so worship isn't about a place. That's about a relationship. That relationship with God that I have. You know, everywhere I can go, I can just worship him and thank him and say, God, you know, I mean, just thank you for just being here today and helping me. And you can worship God just in some quiet time with him. Worship is mainly learned from someone, though, that's taught us. How did you learn to worship? Think about that. How did you learn to worship? Now, I'm not saying somebody taught you and say, okay, we got a class, you know, Sunday school class. You know, next Sunday, Brother Jeff's going to teach us how to raise our hands. He's going to teach us how to dance in the spirit. No, we don't do that. I mean, I know I've heard of them. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of those. You know, I remember one time, one church service I was in, and I wasn't pastor at this church. I was just visiting a church, and this was years ago. Pastor gets up, and we were visiting a special speaker, a special event. He goes, okay, those who would like to speak in tongues, just come over here, and we're going to teach you. And I thought, yeah, I'm gone. Thank you. But worship does get taught by how we observe one another. Think about it. I learned some ways of worshiping by how I watched my elders in the church growing up. I can tell you certain people in the church, my home church, they're watching them and how they worship God. And when they'd, you know, I mean, people get to clapping and people begin to shout and people begin to, you know, I mean, come on, somebody. Anybody remember what I'm talking, know what I'm talking about? You know, you knew that so sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so was going to start, you know, shouting or starting running the aisles or, you know, and I mean, back in the beehive days, you know, I mean, I remember Sister Gracie when I was growing up, you know, I mean, she, you know, that beehive get the going back and forth. But I remember, you know, and I kind of kid about that, but it taught me worship. It taught me to be sensitive to the Spirit. It taught me to listen to the voice of God. It taught me to seek that God would speak to us, whether by tongue and interpretation or by whatever means. But we knew that when we come into the service, we would worship God and we would be sensitive to what he had for us. That worship wasn't about me checking my Facebook while I'm in church.
Hello?
Making out my grocery list after church. You know, after church, I'm going to go by the grocery store. No, worship was about paying attention to what God was doing to us. And I learned that from those around me. And so worship can be taught in that aspect. And that's a tradition we've got to pass down.
Hello.
Think about it. I'm about ready to wrap up, guys. But I want you to really get this, okay? About 3 minutes, I'll be done. Get this. Think about how you worship. Now, you're not to be looking around at other people, I know. Don't look at other people when you're worshiping. If you are spectating, you're not worshiping. Worship is about participating, not spectating.
Hello.
But just think about those little eyes around the church. What do they see? when we're singing the songs of God, Jesus, hold my hand. I mean, I don't know about you. You know, there's some songs that, you know, I mean, both songs were great. How great is our God? I mean, think about that for a minute. How great is our God? You know, when we're singing and think, how great is our God? I mean, are you feeling it? Are you really thinking about how great your God is? Or how great is our God? Or maybe you're not even. Think about the eyes that are watching. Hello, come on now. Let's get real for a minute. Because remember what I said earlier? Traditions can be taught or observed. Well, I thought Brother So-and-so was a great man of God. You know, he's, you know, Brother Jeff, you know, he's one of the pastor's council. And, you know, Brother Jeff, you know, he's one of the, I mean, he comes and collects offering plates. And, you know, Brother Jeff, and if Brother Jeff is just sitting there, you know, or doing this, you know, everybody, you know, the worship team's up here singing and worshiping, leading us in worship, but we're, what is that teaching? That's teaching a tradition that church is really not that important. Your attention shouldn't be here. It should be there. I know there's times, you get a text. I mean, it's kind of habit form. Let's face it, it's happening. You get a text or you get something, you go. But when it comes to service, you see, these things has a great device on it. Do you know that? You may not know this. Let me teach you something real quick. Little thing on the side called mute. Great device. Or do not disturb. Great device. Hello. Great device. I mean, come on, somebody. God even invented something phenomenal. Are you ready? I'm going to teach you. Y'all going to learn something today? Like, in your church or you're busy doing something, it's called voicemail. It's a great feature. If it goes to voicemail, I mean, you call me and it goes to voicemail, two things. Number one, I've laid my phone down. I'm trying to find it. Or number two, I know Jeff called me yesterday, and I laid it down and walked away from it. The one moment I walked away from it. Or two, I'm busy with my family or something. Leave me a message. Text me. But we got to understand something. When we're here, it's about Him. Because if it's not about Him and how we worship and how these little eyes look at us and look to us, look up to us, we're passing on traditions. Remember where you come from and remember what you have learned. Remember what you have been taught. Remember, that's what I've been talking about. That's what these scriptures are saying. Remember what you've been taught and what you have learned, what you've observed, and you pass it on to the next generation. Because if you don't, when you stand before God, is He going to look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant? Oh, he got quiet. Let me wrap this up. Worship team, come on up here. Wrap this up. So let me ask you this. Let's go to this next slide. What traditions are you passing on? What traditions are you passing on? What are you teaching the next generation? You remember the old song we sang as a kid? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Amen. Anybody remember that one?
Yep.
Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Hello. Think about it. What are the little eyes and little ears seeing and hearing from? Not just in service, but in between the pew to the door. or even on the drive home. When you get into your home. Hello? I know sometimes, and I'm not saying this, that you're all doing this, and hopefully you're not, but you know, whether it's me or anybody else, but if you start bashing who's preaching or who's speaking or who's singing, who's doing anything in the service, when you get in your car and you go home, you begin to complain, and those little ears in the back seat are hearing that, guess what you're teaching them?
Amen.
And we wonder why our kids don't make church a priority. You see, the teaching don't just stop when we leave these doors. We're only here for a few hours a week. But they spend a lifetime at home. Who has more influence? People wonder why that pastors and youth pastors and teachers don't really change their children. Well, they're taught for just a few hours a day. But the support isn't there at the home to help. Hopefully you're asking them on the way home, what'd you learn in Sunday school? What'd you learn here? What'd you learn in children's church? And enforce that. Reinforce what they're learning. And help put it into practice. Because if we don't, you see, traditions are only as good as they are passed down. I know there's been corny traditions we've learned before. I understand that. And there's traditions. Listen, there's traditions that we just need to give a proper burial and just let, you know, let them go. Come on now. But then there's other traditions that especially lift up God. You see, traditions that don't lift up Christ and are not Christ-centered, we just let them go. But there's traditions that we need to uphold. Stand with me. Help me close this. I can go on and on and on. But in this Christmas holiday and season that we're in, I don't like to say holiday seasons because to me we have so much in that. I mean, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. I know Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, and I think there's another one popping up now. But yeah, okay, whatever. But it all began with Christmas. If we don't teach the value and the importance of Christmas. John 3:16. Anybody know what that says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the Christmas story. That's the Christmas story. God loved this world. Who's the world? You and me. He sent his Son. This morning in Sunday school, we're talking about Isaiah. God would say in Isaiah, who would go for us? And who shall we send? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. And Isaiah did a great, phenomenal work. But later on, we would see another version of that. When God the Son said, I'm going to go to earth. And I'm going to redeem my people. That's a tradition and a story that needs to be told.
Amen.
It brings a story, not only the greatest love story of all, but it brings a message of hope.
Yes.
A message of life. That's what Christmas is about.
Yes, amen.
Father, I just thank you right now. Lord, I know this has been a different message, but God, it's been one I believe that you're wanting us to lay hold on. There's some traditions that we have neglected. There's some traditions that we have not held tight to and kept going. Whether through neglect or forgetfulness or even laziness, Lord. Lord, I pray we don't
forget these. And now that we have been, it has been brought back to our memory. God, I pray it's not too late. It's not too late to instill some tried and true traditions into this Christmas season. And not just Christmas time, but all year long. Lord, there's a tradition and a story that needs to be passed down to the next generation and generations to follow. It's our responsibility. And I pray today, Lord, as I'm praying right now, that those in the sound of my voice, God, will heed this word and say within their own selves, Lord, I commit to you today that I will carry on those God-instilled traditions to those of my family and those around me, to teach and observe you, to pass on the traditions of worship and be more mindful on how I worship. For Lord, I pray, God, there's a generation that's looking to me, looking to all of us, and they need to see Jesus as never before. God, help me. Help me instill that tradition. Give back those godly traditions in our life and in our families and in our church. Now, Lord, I pray that you would just lead us, Lord, to your altar right now. And commit ourselves to you today. Commit to those traditions that need to be passed on. Lead us, Lord God, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Oh, have your way. I just want to invite those this morning, come to the altar. And I believe we just need to come and say, Lord, let me be more intentional in giving and passing on these traditions that we've gotten, we've neglected, or we've forgotten. And just say, God, help me pass on the traditions of your word and this great story they need to hear. And if you need special prayer, then come and stand, and we will gather around you, and we will anoint you, and we will pray in faith, believing that God will touch you and meet the need this morning. Would you come right now? Come on, church. It's time to respond to the word of God. Hallelujah. Lord, just have your way right now. Move. Move right now as only you can move. God, just touch as we worship you. Come on.